Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Luke chapter 1, stand up on your feet if you're able to. Some of you are not going to hear anything I teach you. You're just going to remember the puke to gingerbread story. Let's read the word. There was in the days of Herod, verse 5, there was in the days of Herod, king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, the division of Abijah. His wife was the daughter of Aaron. Her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, which is really saying something prior to the shedding of Jesus' blood. They're righteous before God, walking in all the commandments. Everybody say all the commandments. All the commandments and ordinance of the Lord, blameless. Everybody say blameless. Blameless. Verse 8. So it was while he was serving as priest. Next verse on the projection. There we go. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, verse 9, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense while he went to the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of people was praying outside in the hour of incense. And then the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him, which I would ask before we go to the next verse, is usually what happens when you see an angel. So if you were playing with angels, tiddlywinks and stuff, it probably wasn't an angel. All right. Fear fell on him and he was troubled. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard." Everybody say that. Your prayer is heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. Being great in the sight of the Lord is different than being great in the sight of men, by the way. And shall neither drink wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said to the angel, "How shall I know that this is going to happen? How shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife," leave the verse up, "and my wife is well advanced in years." So Zechariah literally says, "How do I know what you're saying is true?" What unmitigated gall. He's talking to an angel. I mean, you could be crisped on the spot. "How do I know this is true?" And then he comes up with reason. What's the reason? "I'm old." Which is crazy, because I figured this whole thing out and studied it. He's about 60, so. It's messed up. "For I'm an old man and my wife was well advanced in years," verse 19. The angel answered and said, "Dude, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and unable to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them. And they perceived that he had a vision in the temple, for he beckoned them and remained speechless. So it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house. Now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked upon me," listen closely, "to take away my reproach among the people." Father, move in power. In the name of Jesus, amen. Turn to somebody and say, he's heard you. It was a dark time. You may be seated. It was a dark time in Israel. A very dark time. They had been contending for the Messiah for generations. They had been silent for 400 years. There had been no prophet for 400 years. This is a whole intertestamental period. The last prophet of the book of Malachi said that God's going to send one in the spirit and the power of Elijah that would turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. And Gabriel quotes Malachi as he's talking to the unbelieving priest, Zacharias. It was a dark time, and God comes and breaks the silence, fulfilling the prophetic promise, bringing a declaration of the fulfillment of Genesis 3. In Genesis 3, the seed of the woman would crush the head of the Satan, would crush the head of Satan. He comes to say, basically, this is the seed of the woman coming. He's coming. Your son, his name's going to be John, and he's going to be the forerunner, and he's John the Baptist is who he's talking about. Sometimes God can seem silent. I've learned this. He's always at work. And there are times when we don't see what he's doing, but he is always at work. And we think at times maybe he's sleeping or slumbering, but Psalm 121 verse 4 says he doesn't sleep or slumber. He who watches over Israel, and he knows your frame. He knows you're rising up. He knows you're setting down. He knows all your difficulties, your weaknesses. He knows everything about you, and he's at work. Come on, somebody say God's at work. And even though it hasn't happened yet, doesn't mean it's not going to happen yet. It's going to happen. Come on, somebody say God stands over his promises. What a powerful passage of scripture. John the Baptist's role is this. Malachi 3:1, I'll send my messenger who prepare the way before me. Malachi 4:5-6, I'll send the prophet Elijah on that great and dreadful day. That is John the Baptist. He's prophesying John the Baptist. And Elizabeth, who's not pregnant just yet, when he gets the message, is going to carry John the Baptist. John was the one was prophesied in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3 and 4, prepare the way of the Lord. He's a voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way of the Lord. I'm going to look at this text just verse by verse. We'll go through it and find some amazing things that I emphasized as we were reading it. But Zechariah was a great man. He was approximately 60 years old, they say. They don't know for sure. The text doesn't say. He was a priest, born to a priestly family. That's a high honor right there. He was a descendant of Aaron. And his wife was also from a priestly family. It says he was of the division of Abijah under King David. That's Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 24. He gave these structures, these divisions. And in the divisions, people got to serve. So he was in the division of Abijah, which is the eighth division. It's interesting. And so they would be chosen by lot to burn incense at the hour of prayer. It is that which you would be chosen for once in your lifetime. If you did it, you were removed from the lot. Lot was, I don't know how to describe it. Lot is it's kind of like rolling dice. It's different. They would cast lot. Urim and Thurim is one way they would determine whether God is saying yes or no. I've taught you on that before. So they'd cast lot, and the lot fell to Zacharias, and he would burn incense in the like a high honor. In fact, when you finished doing that, you were considered wealthy. You had done the highest thing that you could do. You know, other than being the high priest, but I mean a great honor, and you would be chosen once in your lifetime, if that. So the tourists serve at the temple wasn't this obligation; it was this holy privilege and a lifelong dream to burn incense as a priest. So we don't always see it the way that it is. That's what he's experiencing. He goes, and it's this lifelong honor as he goes in to burn incense. Elizabeth, also a great Woman of God, the text says that. They're righteous, they're blameless according to the commandments. Come on, you broke some commandments yourself today. I know you did. It says that they didn't break any of them. They were blameless. In other words, if you examine their life, every part of it, there was not one thing wrong. And yet she had this reproach. I had you read it. It's the final verse. God has rolled away the reproach. What reproach? What is the reproach? That even though blameless and even though righteous and even though coming from a godly family and her husband, who he was and all of that, she was barren. She had no children. When you go back and you look and you see what the angel says, your prayer has been heard, but in the original language, as I've taught you many times, I've preached from this text dozens of times. It's really in the original language is the prayer you used to pray has been heard. Why didn't he pray it anymore? Well, he says why. His unbelief brings he gives reason, he gives logic for why he has unbelief and why he doesn't believe the angel. I'm old, my wife's old. He doesn't pray it anymore because in the natural it's totally impossible. So how's it going to happen? Quite a passage of scripture. Zechariah has his moment of destiny with God. The angel's announcement, the angel is Gabriel. He's God's divine messenger. And anytime Gabriel showed up, history changed. His very name means the might of God. Standing at the right hand of the altar is a picture of messianic authority. Psalm 110, verse 1, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. So this arrival of Gabriel at the right side of the altar, all of that's very significant, and you can do a deep dive on that later. I found sometimes we try to go so deep we drowned. I'm trying to break it down for you and give you something that it'll affect your life, and you could bring it home and bring significant change to your circumstances and release faith in you tonight. Why did Zechariah not believe? I think he didn't believe because of the same reasons we don't at times. Years of unanswered, seemingly unanswered prayer. I told you, God answers every prayer. It's yes, no, and wait. In his case, he thought it was no, but he's actually waiting. Is it possible that you're in a waiting time and you thought actually the answer is no? You thought God said no, but Pastor Karen. You thought maybe God said no, but he didn't. He said, wait. So how do you know the difference? You don't know unless God reveals it to you. So you continue to contend and contend and contend and you believe. And Zechariah, his faith struggled to grasp the sudden answer to prayer. I think because he was wounded. I think he had experienced some trauma. I think perhaps this rolled away my reproach. What does that mean? It's not the reproach that they have for each other. Who's the reproach from? It's from people. It's from the congregation. It's maybe from their neighbors or their brothers or their aunts or their uncles or other priests. Oh, Zechariah, he's blameless, is he? Because you know he has no kids. It's considered a curse. So when the answer to prayer comes, he can't believe it because he's been living in this place of unbelief and a woundedness because of people's opinions of him. Let me just tell you right now, who cares what people think about you? I care very little about what most people think. I do care what you think about me. The ones that are closest to us can hurt us the most. I've had to get thick skin as a pastor. I have thick skin. Some of you are onion skinned. So anybody that just looks at you the wrong way, you think, oh, I knew they didn't like me. Oh, you need healing. I'm settled it. God loves me. And that's the main thing. And then statistically, which is not a real statistic, but I like saying it because it just helps you be free from the opinions of people. And that's this. There's only two or three people that like you anyway, so you better just live for God and let the chips fall wherever they lay. Let them fall. Let the chips fall wherever they fall. What if they don't like me? Who cares? How about what does God say? Are you living for him? Are you being kind? Are you being gentle? Are you being gracious? Are you being compassionate? Are you slow to speak and quick to listen? How about what does God say about you? It's a great thing to be set free from the fear of man. It really is. And I think that Zechariah and his wife, Elizabeth, which means God is my strength, I think they were deeply wounded and had unbelief as a result. You can go through things that through your disappointment, it can breed unbelief. Faith is a paramount thing in your life. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Mountains move by faith. You need faith. Your faith needs to stay fresh. I talked to my staff just recently about faith. Faith. Why did Zechariah struggle to believe? Well, first of all, he should have believed. He was a priest. There's reasons he should believe, just like you and I should believe. He was a priest. He had God's word. Why couldn't he? Prayer you used to pray, he was disappointed that God didn't come through for him the way that he thought. There's other examples. Numbers chapter 20, you can go there. Moses, the most humble man in the world, the most humble man ever, which is hysterical because he wrote that, Deuteronomy. Moses was the most humble man. Anyway, I think that's funny. At a place called Kadesh Barnea, where they first sent out the spies to spy out the land, and God's trying to encourage them. They come back, 10 with a bad report, but 2 with a good report. And the bad report spreads, and because of the unbelief, they can't go into the promised land, and they have to walk around for 40 years. And Moses is like, oh, for the love of God. He's so upset. Anyway, they go 40 years in the desert. He's back at the same place. He hits the rock instead of speaks to it. He dishonors God. Moses had a little bit of an anger problem. I mean, he killed the Egyptian. I think he had an anger issue there. Moses and Zipporah's conflict reveal hidden disobedience in Exodus 4. There's others, many other examples. Thomas doubted the resurrection despite Jesus' words. They call him Doubting Thomas. I don't know why they call him that. Because he was the one that said, let us go that we may die with you. When they said, when Lazarus had died, they said, we can't go back there. They're going to kill us. Jesus said, let's go. We wait 3 days. Lord, he stinketh. It's like, no, let's go. And everybody's like, we can't go. And Thomas is like, let's do it. Well, what happened to, let's do it, Thomas, to where, unless I stick my hand in his hand, I mean, hand in his side, I won't believe. What happened? Thomas got wounded faith. Thomas was deeply disappointed that his Messiah wasn't the ruling, reigning king, kicking the Romans out of Israel and installing as the Messiah. He didn't understand the suffering servant of Isaiah 53. He did not understand the God's timing in the whole thing. And as a result, he got like disappointed. Where's my hero? Where's the one I thought he was going to rise from the dead and kick everybody out? God's ways are not your ways. His ways are higher than your ways. His thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And you have to settle it right now that God is good. And he's got you. And you need to just get healed of whatever trauma or reproach or whatever you've been through. You got to get healed. Because if you don't get healed, you'll have your faith get undermined. I don't have time to get offended. Got lots of examples of why I should be, maybe, except there's a higher law at work. I don't have time. God's on the move. I can't afford to let my faith take a hit. I can't afford to. What am I going to do? Well, they don't like you. So what? You're going to heaven. You've been called by God. Grow a spine. The jellyfish Christian thing doesn't ever move anything forward. Grow a spine. Bump your neighbor and say, grow a spine. Pastor Tim told me to say that. It's different. Mary asked a question. Lord. Pastor Karen, you help us. Lord, how can this be? Go ahead and say it.
Lord, how can this be?
Very good, Mary. Fantastic. Isn't that the same thing that Zachariah said? How do I know this is true? How can this be? Mary's asking the question based upon, I'm curious about that because my mom and dad told me and I've never been with anybody. So how's that going to happen? Oh, you're going to be overshadowed.
What?
I'm sure she said the same thing. What? That's a good response. I have no framework for what does overshadowed mean. But Mary wasn't judged. Why? Because her heart wasn't one of unbelief. It was one of being inquisitive. Like, Lord, what? There's nothing wrong with asking questions of trying to understand God and his ways. But in the end, if you don't get the answer, or you get one like overshadowed, may it be to me according to your word. Go ahead.
May it be to me according to your word.
Amen, Mary. And she just settled it that I don't understand that, but God's good. I'm just going to keep living by Mary's favorable ways. And she goes on and the overshadowing happens, which you don't really hear too much about, but she ends up becoming pregnant with the Messiah, the virgin. She'll bring forth a son. Amazing. Emmanuel, God with us. This is really the beginning of the Christmas story. There's nothing wrong with being inquisitive. There's everything wrong with being rebellious and angry. It's very, very different. I don't understand a lot of things. I don't understand most things. And the more I learn, the more I realize I don't know much. And so would every other person that continues to grow in their education and knowledge of God, the more you learn, you realize, wow. And then you have to settle it tonight. Settle it the rest of your life. God is loving and kind and gracious and merciful and in control, and he is good. Why did they die? I do not know. We can look for some answers, but in the end, God is good. He's loving and kind and merciful and gracious, and I'm going to trust his leadership. How come my marriage didn't work? I don't know. Take a good hard look. Maybe you weren't exactly Christ-like either. Could that be? Maybe he told you not to. I don't know. You can look, but in the end, let it go and know that God is loving and kind and merciful and compassionate, and he's absolutely in control, and he loves you. Don't ever let your heart get in a place of unbelief because you've been through some trauma that he didn't bring about your miracle. It didn't do the thing for you just yet. I have many personal examples, one of which almost cost me my life. I turned from God. I won't tell the whole story. He didn't do it like I thought I heard he was going to do it, like a prophetic word that somebody gave me. He didn't do it like that. It didn't happen the way that I envisioned it, but it also isn't over. And maybe I see dimly. Maybe you don't see things 100% correctly. Is that possible? Bump your neighbor and say, is that possible that you don't see? Yeah, we all see dimly, but the prophet told me, listen, let me just tell you a message about prophecy. You weigh it, you judge it according to the word, and there's things that you contend and you fight for, and other ones you just take those and go, don't quite understand that. We're just going to put that right there. And then you just keep contending according to the word. You keep believing according to the word. Well, the prophet told me I had to go. Listen, you're the one that's responsible for you get your own word. I'm not saying that rebelliously. I'm just saying God is good and you must trust his leadership. Zachariah should have known that, but he did not. Do you? Settle it. Fix it tonight. God's good. There is consequences for sin. There's consequences for unbelief. There's consequences for things. According to your faith. Everybody say that. According to my faith may be done unto me. Well, I don't like that too much because that means my faith actually matters of whether it's going to be done or not. No, we just want God to do it. Anybody, what's that genie in the lamp? Doink. Right? That's not how God works. I just aged myself. That's like 1960 something. God doesn't work with a doink. He can come through when it's long past the hour that you thought it was time. And frequently I find that God does that. I don't think that Zechariah understood the divine appointment he's in, and some of you don't understand the divine appointment you're in right now, tonight, hearing the message that I'm preaching to you. You're back in church maybe for the first time in years. You're here in the sanctuary. It's kind of fun about the puke and the gingerbread, but you've cut me off the rest of it, and you've been on your social media, scrolling away and doom scrolling. When I'm trying to talk to you about that hurt that you have, is because your dad didn't do it, or your mom didn't do it, or you were left abandoned, or whatever, and then you made this decision, well, I'm not going to, let's love God. But you're ending up on the side of the road as a casualty, and it doesn't need to be that way. You just need to be healed. There's evil in the world, and it's not God. God is good. Say it. I can't hear you. God is what? He's good. God is good. The devil is bad. And you have to settle it that he's in control of every infinitesimal detail, and you must trust His leadership. Trust His leadership. I don't think he understood the moment that he was in with his divine appointment. There's Kairos moments that come. There's a spiritual discernment that comes. You're in a Kairos moment right now. Kairos is a Greek word for time. There's five Greek words for time. Kairos is one of them. It's where time and destiny cross. It's that Christmas that you got that special sailboat that you always wanted when you were 5 years old. You remember it, and there it was. It's a moment that never comes again. You're in a Kairos moment right now. And there's moments that come like that in history and in your life. There's moments that come like that. I think about that for this project here, this building project that we're in. I think we discovered the exact date. It was in April. I've forgotten it. I have it written somewhere. I could go for you. Thank you. April 11th, 2014. Coming back from, it was a Monday. Coming back from a movie on that day, my son says, Dad, let's go to the old church property. You all know the story. It's a specific day. Who knew that the building, that the property was turned back to the bank? Who knew that on that day? But God knew, and a couple bankers knew. And that exact moment, I didn't understand the moment of the Kairos moment. We would not be here right now. Listen, I had contractors curse at me and said, what the dude? I could do that, dude. I'd have been here with my $1 million check yesterday. I even know those guys at the bank. How come they didn't call? I'm gonna call them. Man, I'm mad. They said that to me. I was like, sorry, bro. He's like, I guess it's God's. I said, exactly. It was a moment. April 11th, 2014. I could figure out the exact time if we tried. We rolled up here mid-afternoon. Rolled up. It was a Kairos moment. I was irritated. I didn't exactly feel like being here. I was bothered. And I just obeyed because I didn't want to be a jerk dad. It was Monday. I wanted to go take a nap. And on Monday, Pentecostal pastors often nap. It's like a long day on Sunday and Monday. I just like. If I had not yielded, I didn't know the moment, how important that moment was. Do you understand that moments come like that in your life? Are you aware that they come? Do you know if you're not prayed up, you'll miss them? I should have gone. I'm going to EMP on Mondays from now on. As the Lord leads me. There's times. There's times that come and you could miss it. I don't think he understood the power of his prayer. And I'm confident that we don't understand the power of prayer either. The power of his prayers were answered And it's fascinating to me that his prayers were answered for him and his wife Elizabeth to have a son, to roll away the reproach of people shut up talking about me, but so that we could have what most married couples want to have is a child. And then we're hurting, and then now it's too late. Or is it? Apparently not. She gets pregnant. He underestimated the power of his prayer. His prayer was not just for him and his wife to have a baby, but he was praying, and God was answering not only that, but was answering a prophetic word from thousands of years through him. We do not understand the power of our prayer. And if you would just get it in your heart, you've got to make prayer a priority. You've got to put it number one. You've got to put prayer in the primary place of importance. The disciples, the apostles said, we're not, they made this whole team to serve. He said, we're going to do that so that they can serve the widows and bring the distribution of the food, because we must give ourselves to prayer and the study of the word. Prayer and the ministry of the word is what it says right there in the book of Acts. Prayer and the ministry of the word. That is a primary thing. Now, the ministry of the word is not just studying, it's actually doing it. I have friends of mine that spend 40 hours a week preparing for one service they preach. I think you should do that, dude, in a couple hours. Maybe, okay, let's get 5 or 10 hours. But then get out there and minister to your people, minister to the community, meet with people, lay hands on people outside of church. Get to know people. It's not just about your the ministry. The word is doing it. I found, you know, with for my pastor friends online, if that's you, don't be offended. You don't have time for that. Just change. I found that... you know, talking to all the preachers in here, I've found that many times I'll stack my schedule and I'll have emergencies or things that happen that I can't delegate. And if you don't delegate, it's like you got to delegate. Some things you can't. Prayer, you can't delegate. There's other things you can't delegate. I've found myself getting so stacked with emergencies at times that I have no time now to put together the sermon that I need to put together. I would sit there with Pastor Karen and I'd be like, I need God to help me. And we would just pray, oh Lord, would you help me right now? And literally I've had times where just whoosh, something happens and I see like motion picture from a text. Boom, 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 message. I'm thinking, where's my notepad? Quickly write it down. And it's this fiery, powerful word. Listen, if you'll put God in prayer first, he'll meet you. You think you need to work 7 days a week. You need to work smart. You need to work smarter by putting God first. And then he'll, come on, you be a tither. You be a giver and watch God bring the increase. I don't think he understood the power of his prayer. And I don't think he understood that he was a part of God's plan. I want you to say, I'm a part of God's plan. Keys, please. I'm a part of what? I'm a part of God's plan. Yeah, you are. God's strategy is to use mankind to spread the greatest news there has ever been, the Messiah. Jesus is born. That's what Christmas is about. It's about Jesus being born. But he didn't stay in a manger. He walked the earth for 33 and a half years. He cast out devils. He healed the sick. He set the captives free. The light has come. And we're called to be used by God. Listen, you might be the only Jesus your neighbor ever sees. I don't know who I was talking to. It was at the gym. And I'm meeting and seeing this guy. I'm like, hey, what's up? He goes, oh, this is my neighbor. I'm like, oh. He goes, not the drunk one, the other one. I'm like, oh, awesome. I said, you guys should go get the drunk one too. And you're like, yeah. Ha, 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 ha. But what a blessing. What a blessing that he's bringing his neighbor. When's the last time you've reached out to somebody? Your life matters. Your life matters, how you reach to people and talk to people, how you pray, the way you live, the way you respond. When you turn the other cheek, the way you drive, Jesus help us. I mean, you get in your car, it's like a generational iniquity just comes all over you. Pastor Karen. Lift your hands to Jesus. You're important to God. You're a part of his plan. Your prayers matter. You matter. The way you live matters. Who knows what would have happened if you didn't take that brother out when your first Sunday when you were here? a gentleman that was here on the first Sunday. We had somebody who needed to be removed from the sanctuary, and he lovingly helped us on his first Sunday. He's now part of the security team. He got instantly drafted right after that. We're so grateful. It might be an April 11th, 2014 for you when you show up, even though you feel irritated, you do the right thing. You can be right at the right place to make a phone call, to see a breakthrough for you and your family, or for the church maybe, for your business. God answers prayer. Understand that what God wants to do in your life is far beyond what you can see right now. I never imagined in a million years that I would be standing here, part of this great, great church, with a fresh outpouring to marry the most beautiful woman in the world and have the amazing children I have, and to be in my right mind. I was weeping during that Christmas song you were singing, Minister Toby. Sang that my whole life. It just did something to me. I think back over my years as I remember them and how God came through again and again and again and again and again and again and again. He's never left me. He's never forsaken me. I've forsaken him. I've left him, which I will never do again. So help me, God. I'm done doing that. And I'm done getting offended. If an angel comes to me, I'm just going to say yes. Or what? I'm going to obey him. I want to remain healed. I don't know what else I need to be healed of, but services like this, if being unhealed, being offended in your walk with God affects your faith, how many of you know you should probably get rid of it? You should get healed. I remember you, son. I prayed a lot for you. You're so filled with joy when you're here, but man, you're filled with trouble too. God sustained you. And you're here, you're alive. I'm proud of you. Open your heart again to the move of the Spirit. He's calling you. Your grandparents brought you here to hear this message. He's calling you, Michael. He's calling you.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com, and may God's face shine upon you and give you peace.